Salvation by grace through faith, the Christological meaning of marriage, the resplendent armor of God. These are some of the themes that you'll find in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, the New Concordia Commentary on Ephesians. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or you can read an excerpt of the Concordia Commentary on Ephesians at issuesetc.org, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, the Concordia Commentary on Ephesians.
We wish to sit in the temple and win respect.
I trust you will remember my generosity in the days to come.
My likeness in the temple for all to see.
Defend his temple against this abomination.
We are lighting a fire that will burn Rome to cinders.
Go to Pilate. Save this city from a Roman massacre.
Never!
The Zealots have formed an alliance with Ethiopia. They plan to launch a huge uprising against Rome.
We are betrayed! Quick!
Forget the Ethiopians' weapons. We still have our own.
Joanna, come with me.
She will be put to death, Claudia.
Cornelius, begin.
This ends here.
Well, there's an excerpt from Sunday's episode, episode 11 of the TV series AD, The Bible Continues. In the course of this long mini-series, a lot of subplots and side plots have been laid down and woven together. Now, somehow in the next two episodes, they have to at least be brought to some kind of temporary conclusion. And even though, as Pastor Ted Giese, our regular viewer of this miniseries, has told us, this miniseries has been picked up for a second season, they're hardly done with the Book of Acts. Although, you might argue, they left the Book of Acts behind a little time ago. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Tuesday afternoon, the 16th of June. Pastor Ted Giese joins us for the 11th review of Sunday night's AD, The Bible Continues. A little bit later, we're going to be talking about two issues that have been in the news here, one from the Washington Post. It reads, from Franklin Graham to Tony Campolo, some evangelical leaders are splitting over gay marriage. Now, the split is not that Franklin Graham has changed his mind, but that Tony Campola has finally come clean with what he's thought for probably some time, all in advance of the Supreme Court's decision on same-sex marriage that is pending near the end of this month. Dr. Robert Gagnon will join us. We'll talk about that and the teachings of a great Christian activist, Matthew Vines, who says the passages in the Bible that appear to address homosexuality simply don't. That's coming up here in about a half hour on Issues Etc. You can join us for the next hour, 1-877-623-MY-IE. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc, or our beloved on-demand listeners, use that Issues Etc. comment line whenever you are listening at any time, any place, 618-223-8382. Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. He's taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Hi, Ted.
Thanks, Todd. Hi.
Even though this thing is, well, telling its own story, that's kind of a charitable way of talking about it, and making up some very interesting and compelling history while doing that, you say they find an interesting way of bringing Jesus back into their particular telling of the Book of Acts. How is that?
Well, it's kind of a twofold thing. So it happens in two spots, and they kind of inform each other. The one is nearer the beginning of the episode, where Caiaphas is trying to consolidate all of the Jewish people together in advance of the coming of this statue of Caligula, and that's supposed to go up in the temple. So now this, we've talked about this before, it's kind of 3 years off of when it's actually would even possibly have happened. But what happens in the midst of all of this is James, the just, has been involved a little bit with the temple trying to smooth things out. And he's trying to smooth things out with Peter to make this happen, and Peter won't have any of it, and he doesn't want to deny Jesus again. And what happens, though, is there's a kind of a key conversation where John is there also, and there's a pressure on Peter to, you know, we got to forgive Caiaphas. And what happens is that John mentions the words of Jesus at the cross, you know, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So that's the one thing. That kind of lays the groundwork for what happens at the end of the episode, near the end of the episode, with a character that we didn't really talk about before, and she's a fictional character that's been presented in this show and been in a number of episodes, but it's this character of Joanna. And Joanna, she was put in prison at the same time as in the previous episode. There was a lady, Tabitha, who we'll probably talk about more in a bit, who had been found out for her faith in Christ and was publicly whipped. Or not, well, whipped at a dinner party for that was being hosted by Pilate. At any rate, this Joanna is somebody that Pilate's wife, Claudia, wants to have set free. This doesn't work out, though. She isn't able to get her set free. It looks like she might be able to, but in the end, Pilate figures out what's going on and forces his wife, Claudia, to watch this Joanna be executed, and has the centurion, Cornelius, who we've been watching all the way along, do the execution. But right before she's executed, she looks at Cornelius and she says that she forgives him. So she forgives Cornelius the same way that Christ forgave the people who were crucifying him. And, of course, Cornelius was the Roman centurion at the beginning of the first episode who was involved in the crucifixion of Jesus. So in that way, they've managed to bring Jesus back in. And the real kind of big moment, I guess, in this fictional story that they're telling, which is eventually hopefully going to get to an actual story from Scripture with Cornelius, is that her saying that to him, this Joanna, and him having to execute her afterwards, as he's washing his hands, he breaks down and cries. And that's the last you see of him in that episode, and that sets things up for the next episode where you'll actually have Peter and Cornelius together. So that's where they're getting it to. But that's how Jesus got brought back in for this particular episode.
So what they're doing is, and this is pretty typical of the miniseries so far, it's pretty clever. I mean, it is. Whoever, because this has taken a lot of planning, a lot of plot development, character development, to go from the beginning of the miniseries with the ascension of Jesus, the crucifixion and the ascension of Jesus, all the way here to the end of the first season, and to bring this, although it is an entirely speculative aspect of the plot line, to bring it to a conclusion, at least for the first season, to say, okay, could it have been that Cornelius was this centurion who both witnessed the crucifixion of Jesus, probably presided over it, and then is involved here in this made-up uprising, or squelling this made-up uprising, finally becoming a Christian himself. It's pretty compelling, yeah. Although Acts doesn't tell the story that way.
No, and I think what they're assuming is that the story that of Cornelius, as it shows up in Acts, there would be a backstory. And they're taking liberty to make one, which humanizes him as a character and makes him more interesting. But it is speculative fiction in that case. And this is the creative license end of things when it comes to this. And sometimes it's more successful and sometimes it's not. And sometimes it's actually, you know, faithful, like to the spirit of where things end up in the actual text. Sometimes not so much. But this was one of the better moments for this that actually kind of propelled the character closer to where they might actually end up in Scripture. So there you have it.
So what are some of the other, as you call them, additions to the text of Scripture that we're going to find in Sunday night's episode?
Well, this past episode, what they've got now is the zealots again, who are on the verge of like having a big fight. They want to have an uprising. Caiaphas's wife, Leah, who's a fictional character, she rats them out. There's a bunch of things like this political end of things that just isn't in Scripture. One thing in history, too, like the actual statue of Caligula never makes it to Jerusalem. The end of the episode has Pilate uncrating it and looking at this golden statue of Caligula, and it's like reflected in his eyes. It's a great moment. But, again, this is historically speculative also. The other thing that happens is that the Ethiopian eunuch, he is found out for his involvement with the Zealots. Again, this is details that aren't in Scripture. This is that fan fiction kind of thing. And because of his involvement in it, what Pilate does is he kind of just strips him of pretty much everything, gives him a chariot and what he can carry, which would include the scroll from Isaiah, and sends him packing. And that's why he's on the road from Jerusalem to Gaza. You know, and in Scripture it doesn't say, you know, that any of that happened. You know, so that's where, and yes, it did say that he was on the road from Jerusalem to Gaza. But again, they're just filling in some of those blanks.
Well, and again, a clever way, although the backstory, again, has to be entirely made up, a clever way of kind of saying, ah, I mean, it does kind of say the worst of characters, this man of international intrigue, even is converted to Christianity.
Yeah. He's presented as a fairly noble character, but he is definitely involved in the Zealots' plot to overthrow the Roman government and the Romans out of Israel. There's a reason why they did all of that, and that's in the actual moment of his baptism. And the text of Scripture simply says he is baptized. Now, the way they handle the two texts of Scripture that they're using the most in this particular episode, they're doing a better job than they have in other instances. It's not perfect, but it's quite a lot better. But in the text of Scripture, what happens with the Ethiopian eunuch, it just says Philip baptized him. It doesn't give you anything else. So they do some very good things, but they do something that's kind of a little... When they did it, it made sense as to why they had this backstory for the Ethiopian eunuch. What they did is they had him kind of, like, there was a confession absolution portion prior to his baptism. And, you know, Philip says, do you repent of your sins? And he says, yes. And then he gives kind of like a list of things. It's a kind of like a public open confession, but there's just the two of them in this pool of water. But he says that he's been arrogant and prideful and, you know, all of these things that actually were part of what happened in his backstory with this, the Zealots and the uprising and all of that. So the reason they had that was so that he could actually stand there with Philip and say the things that he had done. So like that's an addition to Scripture. Like that, it doesn't say that he did that in Scripture. The positive things that they did add there that Scripture doesn't include is things like it's a Trinitarian baptism. And Philip, you know, when talking about Jesus, you know, says that he is the Son of God and that, you know, he is the one who was crucified and on the third day rose from the dead. And do you believe this? So, like, there are some things in there that are good that they added that aren't in the text. But then there's also a little bit of the kind of maybe even a little bit of conditional forgiveness when, after the confession of the Ethiopian eunuch, Philip says, that is in the past. What matters is who you now choose to be. And the good news is that it happens just prior to the actual baptism. But they add in some things with that. Otherwise, that particular story of the, which I've been kind of waiting for, I've been kind of hoping that this would happen, the other stuff around it is mostly pretty good.
Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. We're reviewing Sunday night's episode of AD The Bible Continues, the miniseries. It's in its 11th episode, and that means there's only one more. They got to tie together a lot of loose ends. We'll see what he thinks about the prospect of doing that when we come back from this break. Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Do you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? Ad Crucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with Ad Crucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. AdCrucem.com.
Holy Cross Evangelical Lutheran Church, Albany, Oregon, is a Mid-Willamette Valley LCMS congregation where the liturgy lives and God's people worship as one, with sound biblical doctrine, weekly communion, and a clear confession of Christ crucified for the sin of the world. Please join us at 2515 Queen Avenue Southeast, or visit our website at www.HolyCrossLutheranAlbany.org.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
There is confusion about marriage in the world, but not with Jesus and his scriptures. Gottesdienst, the Journal of Lutheran Liturgy, will be having a conference on Tuesday, June 30th at St. Paul Lutheran Church, Hamel, Illinois, on marriages and weddings. Come and hear the theology of marriage and the theology of the wedding and be strengthened in confessing. Helpful sectionals for pastors and laity in the finest of the church's worship. For more information, go to gottesdienstonline.blogspot.com.
Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, reviewing episode 11 of the TV series AD, The Bible Continues. Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. In just a few minutes, Dr. Robert Gagnon will join us. We'll talk about evangelical leaders splitting over gay marriage and the teachings of a Christian gay activist, Matthew Vines. Dr. Robert Gagnon, author of the book The Bible and Homosexual Practice, Texts and Hermeneutics, in about 10 minutes here on Issues Etc. Pastor Giese, let's deal with another one of the big incidents from Acts 9 that this episode dealt with more or less. There's omissions, contradictions, additions, speculations throughout it as well. In Acts chapter 9, we have the raising of Tabitha, of Dorcas. Tell us about that.
Yeah, this Dorcas, otherwise known as Tabitha, in this particular episode, she and the previous one, we kind of were introduced to her. She was beaten, like I mentioned, by Cornelius again. At Pilate's dinner party in front of the Ethiopian eunuch. Now, what happens in this episode is she dies from these wounds. But before she dies, she asks to be taken back to where she lived, which is in Joppa. Now, scripturally, that is where that happened. So I was kind of wondering how we were going to get her from Jerusalem to Joppa, but she asks to be taken there so she can see her family before she dies. Mary Magdalene takes her there. This is speculative. What happens is that Peter just happens to have left Jerusalem now to get out there and do some preaching, and he's on his way. He runs into Philip briefly. That's another speculative thing, that they might have run into each other. Philip goes off to the Ethiopian eunuch, and then Peter, who didn't see the angel, goes over to Joppa. So when he's there, though, Tabitha has already died. And generally speaking, what they do with this, apart from how he gets there. In Scripture, he is invited there by a couple of the disciples who happen to be in Joppa. In this particular case, he happens to be in Joppa. The show has it set up like that. And it's Mary Magdalene who gets him and brings him to the house. One kind of contradiction is Scripture has it in an upper room. And when it says the upper room, you know, maybe you're starting to think of, like, you know, the other spots in Scripture where they talk about the upper room. Particularly the Last Supper, other things. So the fact that they just have it on the ground floor is maybe just an oversight on their part. At the very least, he goes in, and then you have the moment where she gets risen, everybody else is put outside, and then you get like this kind of like the wind machine kind of Holy Spirit thing going on, which the text doesn't have. But the moment is actually quite good, and him actually being there and her being risen back to life, and then everyone very happily joining around her. It's one of the kind of better moments overall. And generally speaking, they didn't mess it up as badly as they have in the past with different actual scriptural texts. So that was, it was a nice scene to see, maybe a little over the top in a couple spots, but surprisingly well. The curious thing about some of that stuff, though, is that like at the end of that actual text, it talks about how the people there throughout all Joppa, it says many believed in the Lord. And the one thing that they've kind of not maybe got across as well as Scripture does is just like the momentum of the growing nature of the church. It tends to be presented in this show as a very small group of beleaguered people who are afraid and are not sure about getting out and talking about Jesus and are kind of like hiding out all the time. And that's not really the way Scripture presents it. This part of this end of that sequence where she walks out of the house alive and the joy that people are having at that moment is quite good and reflects better what Scripture actually says about that incident.
We always talk about how preaching, word, and sacraments fared in the course of this. There isn't any sacrament at the altar, but baptism and preaching have a place. In fact, that we mentioned before, one of the stronger things about this, amidst some of the weaknesses, is that the baptism that was shown of the Ethiopian eunuch actually is in the triune name of God.
Yeah, and this one, like earlier on, we kind of like didn't like the fact, like you and I didn't like the fact that they kept undercutting Jesus like as God and as like the Son of God. Like they didn't really want to say that kind of stuff too much. By now, you know, now they're talking like that. You know, it isn't quite as succinct as what Scripture has Thomas saying in the upper room following the resurrection when he first sees Jesus, but it's so much clearer now. And like this baptism is probably the clearest it's been. Apart from that one little bit of conditional forgiveness part, the rest of it is very, very clear and much better. So I think maybe what they were planning to do or what they have been doing or what they planned out to do was kind of a trajectory. Now, we're not so keen on that because that's not really the way Scripture presents. It's not like a developing theology, like what was given to them. They already had the 3 years of seminary with Jesus prior to his crucifixion and resurrection, and then afterwards the Holy Spirit is what helps make it all click and be crystal clear for them. So they don't have this kind of developing notion of theology as such, not at least the way that they're presenting it in the show. But this particular case, it's clearer now, and it's better than it has been in the past.
And preaching?
Preaching, you don't really get a lot. Again, there's a little moment where they've been allowed back in the temple. Apparently, this is a big deal. I'm not sure why it would be at that point anymore, like actually in Scripture, but it is for them. So Simon is in the temple preaching. That's not so bad. He's talking about the true light being Christ, and even if dark times are coming, that's kind of like you never get a whole sermon. You just get like two or three sentences of a sermon. The other one is where Peter's kind of doing some street preaching in Joppa, and he quotes what you find in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, talking about the entering through the narrow gate. So now he's actually doing what Jesus told them to do at the end of Matthew 28, which is to teach what I have commanded you, like actually tell people the things that he taught them, you see him doing that. So talking about how the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few, like that kind of stuff, this entering through the narrow gate, so that you get that. And that was kind of good to see, too, because sometimes they aren't actually using what Christ told them when they're preaching. It's the emphasis isn't quite as much there. So in this case, again, it's a little clearer and a little better, and it's actually quoting from something Jesus said.
How are they going to, they're not going to wrap up the book of Acts, obviously, because they've got another season to do that, but how are they going to wrap it up next Sunday, do you think?
Well, there's going to have to be some fighting. I mean, they've been building up to fighting. Like, so the Zealots probably are going to fight maybe a bit. I don't know. Maybe they won't have that, but it seems like they're getting in that direction. I think that there's going to be a lot of focus on Cornelius in that last episode. I don't really know what they're going to do with Claudia. There is kind of a suggestion that Claudia, like, they keep kind of hinting that she's being kind of very much influenced by these Christians that are in her life or that she's had contact with. And even there's kind of an interesting thing that happened is that Pilate, when talking to her, she, his wife, you know, said that, you know, she had empathy for this Joanna. And he chides her, like he just drops the bricks on her, like immediately, a ton of bricks, and says, listen, empathy is weakness, and Romans aren't weak, and you're my wife, and you're not supposed to be weak. So, like, you get a glimpse of what Roman culture actually was like humility and empathy and these kinds of things are things that are brought to the forefront by Christ, not by the Roman Empire or Greek culture. As such. So like that's kind of an interesting thing. So I think there's probably going to be some movement there with them. And maybe if they really want to pull it all together, the very first thing that started this whole thing was Pilate saying the question, what is truth? So you'll see a return to that. Plus, in the first or second episode, Cornelius said about someone who believed that Jesus was alive, that after the crucifixion, that they would either be a madman or, you know, he had this kind of little clever line. So he's going to have to confront that, I think, in this last episode. And Peter will be right there in the middle of that. That's kind of what I think will happen in the last episode.
Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. He taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, I'll talk with you next week.
Thanks. Looking forward to it.
When we come back from this break, we're going to spend some time with Dr. Robert Gagnon. You might have seen the Washington Post piece called From Franklin Graham to Tony Campolo, Some Evangelical Leaders Are Splitting Over Gay Marriage. First question really is, how is that split taking place? Because I don't think Franklin Graham and his ilk have moved one bit on the subject. We'll talk about that with Dr. Robert Gagnon right after this.
Today, the biblical account of creation is under attack in the popular media, in our schools, and even many churches and seminaries.
Dr. David Menton of Answers in Genesis, talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
We are told that the evidence for evolution is so compelling that the church and its clergy and teachers must accept evolution or be dismissed as fools. But I will show that the scientific case for evolution is not compelling, and that evolution is incompatible with biblical Christianity and the gospel of Jesus Christ.
You can hear and meet Dr. David Menton making the case for creation Friday, June 19th and Saturday, June 20th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House. Listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House. cph.org.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Listen to chapel services live weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana at issuesetc.org.
And the love of God.
Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel, live weekday mornings, 8:30 Central, 9:30 Eastern, 7:30 Mountain, and 6:30 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy.